the love you've been searching for. 1 John chapter 4 in verse number 7 says here in the Bible, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." In verse 19, "We love him because he first loved us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that we could be here in your house today. Thank you for the souls that have gathered here today. Lord, I do pray you'll use me here today to speak to them. I pray, Lord, you fill me with your Spirit. I pray you give me boldness. I pray, Lord, you give me your thoughts and your words here to speak to your people today. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for what you do. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, times are tough, right? But the truth of the matter is, times have always been tough. We live in a world that seems to be disconnected from reality. Oh, I know we have reality TV, but there's no reality for that. There's no truth. Okay, we live in a world that is disconnected. I mean, think about it. If the president has to sign executive orders to keep men out of women's sports, something is wrong, right? Something has gone drastically wrong. But now there are things in this life that we do not understand. There are things and circumstances that come into this world and into our lives that we can't control. I mean, think about this. There are 8 billion people in the world today. Have you thought about that? 8 billion people in the world, and so where does my place in all of that? Where do I fall in with all of that? Hey, have you been searching for love only to never find it? Hey, maybe you've felt the pain of loneliness. Maybe you've felt the pain of being rejected, maybe even abandoned by friends, and so you continue to search for love. And see, many people search for love in all the wrong places, right? Relationships. They search for love, success, and wealth, and money, and fame, and fortune, and even social media. Hey, how many followers can I get, you know, on TikTok, right? What are my followers doing today? But see, at the end of the day, all those people, they still feel empty. You search for love, and you still feel empty at the end of the day. Why is that? Well, let me tell you, because human love is unconditional. Human love is conditional. That's what I'm going to say. It's conditional, and it is temporary. But God's love is eternal. God's love is unchanging. God never changes. His love never changes. And now if we take that word love, love was appeared in our text here quite a bit, but that word love appears in the King James Bible in 286 verses. And another 57 times, the King James Bible uses the word loveth. Now, the most frequent translated word love comes from the word agape, right? The agape love, and that is what we're talking about, is that giving love. It's that giving sacrificial love. That is the love of God, right? Giving love. And we can see here in our text in verse 8, the very love of God, we can see that God is love. You get that? God is love. The very definition comes from the Bible of what love is, and God is love. If you're going to know love in any form or way, you got to know God. Okay? God is love. Mankind does not understand love. We cannot know love. We cannot possess any form of knowledge of love without God. And just let me tell you, love is not a feeling. Okay? Love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment. Love isn't something you fall into. Love is something that you determine and you commit yourself to doing. And here's the thing, when it comes to love, biblical love is based on God's Word. Okay? It's based on God's Word. It proves all things according to His Word. Remember, God is love. So maybe you've asked yourself this question before. Hey, does anybody love me? Does anybody really love me? With the population the greatest it's ever been, there's more people in the world today than ever before. Wickedness abounds more than ever before. What is my place in this world? Is there anybody out there that loves me? Well, let me tell you, the answer is yes. Let me tell you who loves you. Number one, God the Father loves you. God the Father loves you. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." There's only one true God. It's the God in this book. It is the God of the Bible. He is revealed to us in the Scriptures. You say, how can I know God? You got to know the Scriptures. How can I know love? Well, God is love. You got to know the Scriptures. Okay? Regardless of what man may say, man did not create God. God created the heaven. He created the earth. He created man. He created you. He created me. And many people in this world have made up their minds who they think God is. Right? They have in their mind a vision of who they think God is, but they don't know the truth. But let me just tell you this. The God of the Bible, the one true God, Jehovah God, is not the God of the Hindu. He's not the God of the Muslim. He's not the God of the Buddhist. He's not even the God of the Calvinist. And He's sure not the God of the Shek. You see, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, the Bible says, "The Lord our God is one Lord." He is one God. He is one God, and He is revealed to us in the Scriptures. Now, I don't know about you, but I've talked with many people, and they say, I believe in God, but they don't know the God of this book, okay? They actually deny the true God of the Bible. They don't know the God of the Bible. They've made up a vision or an image of who they think God is. So let me tell you, if you flip over to Isaiah chapter 43, flip over to Isaiah chapter number 43, I want you to look here in verses 10 and 11. God reveals Himself to us so we can know Him in the book, in the Bible. All right, God loves you. And look here in Isaiah chapter 43 in verse number 10. The Bible says here, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God forth, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Hey, we got to get it. It doesn't matter what image you have of God made up in your mind. You got to know the God of the book. You got to know the God in the Bible. You got to know the one true God. He is the only Lord. He is the only Savior. He is the one true God of the book. And you know what? He loves you. He loves you. God loves you. Why does He love you? Why does the God in heaven love me? Why? Because He created you. If you could flip over to Genesis chapter 1. No, Genesis chapter 1 gives the account, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and He created light and dark, and He created the earth, and He created everything in this earth. And then you get to verse 26, and God created man, all right? He created you and me, and He created us in His own image. Why? Because He loves you. Because He loves you. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 7, look at this. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Get this. Male and female created He them. Look, God spoke and He created you. He created me. He created man. He created women. Why? Because He loves you. He loves you. We are here today because God loves you. He loves you. He created you because He wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with everybody. Why? Because He loves you. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. Right? He earnestly desired and wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that I may know Him. And God created us to know Him. Hey, if He didn't want us to know Him, all He had to do was leave us be. He didn't have to send Jesus. He didn't have to preserve His Word for us here today in the form of the King James Bible. All He would have had to do was leave us be, and we would have self-destructed by now, I'm sure. But He created us because He loves you. And He created us because each one of us has a specific purpose. Do you know what that purpose is? The Bible tells us what our purpose in life is. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Hey, again, God was not created by man. Man was created by God. And in case you missed it, this life that we live in, it's all about God. It's not about you and I. It's not about our comforts. It's not about our enjoyment. It's not about our pleasures. It's all about pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do. How are we doing? We doing okay in that area? If we stood before Jesus Christ today, what would He say about our life and how we're created to please Him and bring an honor and glory to Him? What would He say about that? But here's the thing with that. We can't fulfill our purpose in life if you're living for yourself and not getting into the Word. You got to get into the Word and to know Him and to find out God's will for your life and to find that there is a very God who created you that loves you. You got to get in the Scriptures, okay? The reason we were born into this world is to bring glory to God. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 24, the Bible says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Now, I don't know about you, but I've talked with people and they say, "Well, you know, I think we're all just animals, right? We're all just animals." But that's not the case. You're still in Genesis. Flip over to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and look there in verse number 7. We were not created as animals. I want you to see this. God created you because He loved you. And He created you for a specific purpose. Okay, and here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, get this. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground," and get this here, "and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." You get that? The very God who created you, that loves you, breathed into man to give him life. Think about it. We're not created like the animals. God created us in His image. We are created in the image of God the Father, in the image of God the Son, and in the image of God the Holy Spirit. That's what He's talking about there in Genesis 1:26. He says, "Let us make man in our image," talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And why did He do that? Why? Because He loves you. He loves you. Human life didn't just happen to be. There wasn't just some big boom and some big explosion, and life came out of that. We didn't appear out of that explosion. Human life was created by God and God alone. When He created us because He loved us and He wants us to know Him. He wants us to have a relationship. He wants us to fulfill our purpose in life by glorifying Him and honoring Him. You see, when He created us to live forever. You got to get this. He created us to live forever. He wants us to live. He doesn't want us to perish. And John 3:16 is the very definition of God's love. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, John 3:16 is love. February 14th is not love. John 3:16 is love. Romans 5:8 is love. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is love. That is the proof of God's love. He poured it out by sending His own Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for you and I. And when we reject Him, deny Him, it grieves Him. It grieves God so much. Why? Because He loves you. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, the Bible says, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." You see, God wants all men to be saved. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says that He is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us to repent of our sin and turn to Him for salvation. He doesn't want any to perish and be lost forever in the place of eternal torment. But here's the thing, when it comes to man, I know because I lived it. I was 38 years old, like I said, before I got born again. You see, mankind doesn't want to turn to God. Mankind wants to do their own thing. People do not want to turn from their wicked ways. We want to go about our life and about our time and activities, and we want to leave God out of everything. We want to leave out the very One who created us because He loved us. We want to leave Him out. I mean, think about it. Look what happens when you leave God out of our country. Look what's happened. Look what's happened when we leave God out of our government, out of our schools, right? Look what happens in those areas. All because we've left God out. You see, all I'm saying is that God the Father loves you. If you could flip back to 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter number 4, and look at verse number 16 there. In 1 John chapter 4, First John chapter 4, 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love." Get that? God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Let me tell you, God the Father loves you, and he proved it. But you know what else? You know who else loves you? Number two, God the Son loves you. Not only does God the Father love you, but God the Son loves you. And Jesus Christ is His there in verse number 9 of 1 John chapter 4. In verses 9 and 10 it says, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Hey, Jesus Christ loves you. That big word there, propitiation, all it means is that God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It means that His blood is the perfect sacrifice. The shed blood of Jesus Christ, it covers it all. It covers all sin. Why? Because He's God. And the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you read John chapter 1 and you go down into verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." When did the Word, who is God, take on flesh? The virgin birth of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to this earth, in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 21, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You see, here's the thing. Jesus did not become. He was not created. He had always existed. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, there are people out there, Jehovah's false witness, that do not believe that Jesus Christ is God and the fact that He was never created. They think He was created. But Jesus Christ was all. He's always been. In John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." You see, way back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, that was Jesus. He was there in creation. He was there. Why? Because in the beginning, God created. God, the very Son, Jesus Christ, loves you, and He created all things. Think about it this way. Think about what Jesus did for us. I mean, he left heaven. He was in a perfect place with God the Father, in a perfect place, and he left that place, and he came to this sin world, this world full of sin, and he took on what we have, flesh. He took on flesh and blood, and that's the way it had to be. That's the only way it could be. God's plan was for that to happen, but that is love. That is Him proving His love. You see, Jesus loves you, and He gave Himself for you. Well, how much did Jesus love? This much. This much. You see, He died on that cross for you and I. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Who Himself bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." You see, on that cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ took our sin debt upon Him. He took your sins, and He took my sins, and He took the guilt, and He took the judgment, and He took the punishment on that cross, and they nailed Him to that cross, and they said, "We're going to be done with this guy. We've had enough of this guy. We're going to nail Him to this cross and crucify Him." But you know what? Jesus, in John chapter 19 and verse number 30, Jesus says some great words, some of the greatest words. You know what He said? He says, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. "It is finished." What's finished? Jesus, He's not finished. What is finished? The plan. The plan before the world was formed, before the foundation of the world, before God spoke the world into existence, the plan was that man was going to sin. He already knew, He saw man was going to fall into sin. And the only way for redemption was this. Jesus Christ had to die to bridge the gap. And so whenever He said it's finished, He says, "Hey, God, I've kept the faith. I have finished the course. I have done what You wanted me to do. I have done everything there is possible. Now salvation has been made way for every single person to ever come to God. He bridged the gap. Now you and I can turn to Him by salvation and call on Him to be saved. And we can have our home in eternity with Him in heaven. That mansion, it's already there in heaven waiting for us. Hey, all you got to do is be born again. It's nothing I do. It's nothing I can do. It's nothing you can do." He bridged the gap there on the cross of Calvary for you and I. What He meant was, "My mission is finished. It is done, finished, complete." Hey, listen. There's people, religious leaders all over the world that have died and they're still dead. Right? Confucius died and is dead. Buddha died and is dead. Muhammad died and he's still dead. Jesus Christ died on that cross and He rose again the third day. 3 days later He came out of the grave, proving that He is God, proving that He is who He claimed to be, proving that He is the very Savior of all mankind, the very living Son of God. You see, that resurrection proved everything. It proved everything. It proved that God the Father in heaven loves you. It proved that God the Son, Jesus Christ, loved you. Because He bore it all for you and me. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the only way you can get to heaven. And what He did on the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." You see, He is the only Savior. He is the only one who can save you. All these roads do not lead to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Why? Because He is so. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ is it. Listen, friend, if you're trusting some other thing to get you to heaven, it's not going to get you to heaven. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. In John chapter 1, in verse number 12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." There was this little girl that was diagnosed with a deadly blood disorder. And the only hope for survival was a blood transfusion from someone who had previously survived the illness. The perfect donor was her 8-year-old brother. Now the doctor talked with him and asked him if he'd be willing to give his blood to save his sister's life. The boy hesitated. He was scared. He was nervous. But eventually he nodded and said he would do it. And as the blood began to flow from his arm, he looked up at the doctor and he softly asked, "Will I start to die now?" And the doctor realized the boy had misunderstood. He thought that giving his blood meant giving his life, yet he was still willing to do it out of love for his sister. You see, this is the kind of love that Jesus showed us. You see, Jesus did give his life. He gave his life on the cross of Calvary for you and I so that we could live. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I want you to see this. If you could flip over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus Christ died on that cross. He rose again the third day. And He's seated on the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for us. In Hebrews chapter 12, let's look there at verse number 2. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse number 2, the Bible says they're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You get that? He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, He's there with God in heaven. He loves you. God the Father loves you. God the Son loves you. He's there making intercession for us. He's there because He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. If there's one here tonight, He doesn't want you to perish. If there's one over the internet, He's long-suffering. He doesn't want you to perish. He paid it all on the cross of Calvary. But all you have to do is make that choice to come to Him. God the Father loves you. God the Son loves you. And the third thing I want you to see here is God, the Holy Spirit of God, loves you. If you could be flipping over to Romans. Romans chapter number 15. Hey, God the Father loves you. God the Son loves you. And God the Holy Spirit loves you. In Romans chapter 15, look here in verse number 30. In Romans chapter 15, in verse number 30, the Bible says here, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Now, it's easy for us to think, I know God the Father, He loves us. He sent His Son. Jesus Christ loves us. He died for us. But let me tell you that the Holy Spirit of God loves you as well. We can see His work in us. We can see His work in guiding us, in directing us, in comforting us, in making intercession for us. But get this, the Holy Spirit is not an it. Okay, He's not an it. He's not a lose control emotion. Okay, He's not a feeling and He's not a force. The Holy Spirit of God is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 7, the Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." You see, that moment of salvation, at that moment you get born again, that Holy Spirit of God comes in us and indwells us. And He begins taking the things of God and teaching us and convicting us, right? He convicts us of sin to draw us to God. If you can flip to John chapter 16, I want to show you here how the Holy Spirit of God loves you. In John chapter 16, starting in verse number 8 there, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us. He is to convict. He says here in John chapter 16 in verse 8, "And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. You see, before we're saved, we're lost. We're blind. We're dead in our own sins, but that Holy Spirit of God loved us. He reached out to us. He convicted us of our sin. He showed us of our need of a Savior. He showed us of a need of Jesus Christ. You got to get this. Without the Spirit, we would not have salvation. Without the Spirit, we would never come. We would never come to salvation. That's love. That's love. But you know what else? The Holy Spirit loves us enough that He comforts us. Flip back a couple pages to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, and look there at verse 26. In John 14, 26, called the Comforter. It says here, but the Comforter, right? The Comforter means come alongside, comfort, guide, direct, nurture. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now that Holy Spirit, get this, He comforts us. Hey, when we feel all alone and feel like nobody loves us, that Holy Spirit of God comforts us. When we feel like we're all alone and there's nothing out there and times are hard, the Holy Spirit is going to comfort us. He's going to take the Scriptures. He's going to teach us all things according to the Scriptures. He's going to pray for us. He's going to intercede in our prayer life. Why? Because He loves you. But get this with the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit does? If you could flip to Ephesians chapter 1. The Holy Spirit seals us. He seals us until the day of redemption. See, you get born again because God the Father loves you. God the Son, Jesus Christ, loves you. God the Holy Spirit loves you and He seals you until the day of redemption. Meaning you can't lose your salvation. The Holy Spirit ensures you'll never lose your salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13, the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, get this here, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What is that promise? Everlasting life. What is that promise? Eternal life. What is that promise? Never perish. What is that promise? The promise of God the Father, the promise of God the Son, the promise of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. All of those promises wrapped up in there that you can never lose your salvation. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of rejection. So what am I saying? I'm saying God loves you. God the Father loves you. I'm saying God the Son loves you. And I'm saying God the Holy Spirit loves you. Now there was this young soldier who was stationed overseas. He was carrying the weight and the burden of war on his shoulders. But beyond the battlefield, he carried something even far heavier than that. The pain of an absent father. Growing up, he longed for his father's love. But instead, he was met with silence over and over. Birthdays came and went with no phone calls. Special moments passed without a father's embrace. One day during a mail call there in the military, the soldier was handed an envelope. His hands trembled because he saw the return address was from his father. He hesitated for quite a while before opening it, not sure what was to be read. But as he unfolded that letter, his eyes filled with tears, and the letter went something like this. He said, son, I know I failed you. I wasn't there when you needed me, and I can never change that. But there hasn't been a single day that I haven't thought about you, a single day that I haven't prayed for you, a single day that I wished I could go back. I love you more than words can say. I don't know if you'll ever forgive me, but know this. You have always been my son, and nothing can ever change that. Now, as that soldier read those words, he began to break. He had spent years believing he was unloved and forgotten by his father. But the truth is right there all along, all these years, his Father never stopped loving him. Now sometimes you and I, we feel God is distant. We feel God doesn't care. We feel that we have gone too far. But here's the truth. God's never stopped loving you. God has never stopped loving any of us. Even when we run, even when we deny, even when we doubt, he's always calling us back. Listen to this in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. He says, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." You see, God's love never changes. God is love. The very definition of God is love. And he's proved that love. He loves you. God the Father loves you. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit loves you. Maybe you're here today and you've never received the love of God. You've never received that love for salvation. Today you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you do that, he will save you and he will give you everlasting life. Hey now, Christian, have you been born again? But hey, are you living for the Lord? Are you living life like there's a very God in heaven that loves you? Are you living for him? Are you living like this very next moment the rapture could take place? I could be standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ giving an account of my life at this very next moment. We got to understand, life is short, but God loves you. And he wants nobody to perish. He wants nobody to perish. Don't sell short. Give your all to God today. Give your all to Jesus Christ. Give your all on the altar today. Lord, whatever your will is, I want to make it my will. I give my all to you here today. Let's pray.